That's it. He's it. What's it? Him. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles and let's go to Exodus chapter 7 this morning. Continue on what we've been preaching. And Exodus chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 14, go down to the end of the chapter. Bible says this in Exodus chapter 7, starting in verse 14. He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river." Father, again it is we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name, asking your favor upon the preached word. Father, we thank you for the sweet blessing of spirit we felt here through the songs of Zion. Thankful, Father, for the blessed hope we have, Lord, in a home in glory. Thankful, Father, that you've been so good to us. And Lord, it really is all about you today. And Father, I ask that your hand would be upon your servant as we endeavor to preach this message. And Lord, give us the right heart with which to preach it, and the right hearts that the people may receive it. And we'll bless you, Lord. Oh, we'll thank you in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, the Nile River, this is what you've got to understand about the land of Egypt, is this river was the source of life for the whole land, right? I mean, the entire land of Egypt was basically dependent upon this waterway that went through its borders and supplied their land with irrigation. It supplied them with everything they needed for food, for cleaning, for cooking. I mean, everything they would possibly need would come from this river system. And you know, people could make determination based on the behavior of the river. You know, I mean, you can do that here too. I mean, sometimes we'll have these rivers and streams and the big waterfalls, and you know, we can determine based on even if you went to bed of a night and it wasn't raining, and then the next morning you got up and saw that the river was up or the waterfall was rushing a little heavily, you can kind of tell, man, we must have had a pretty good rainstorm last night. Right? I mean, you can make certain determinations when it comes to that. And don't you know, these people had probably gotten so accustomed to this river flowing along by their houses and along by their homes and their properties, their businesses, everything that they were dependent upon for their life. They got used to this river flowing constantly and never failing and never ceasing. And I mean, even during times when there might have been some drought in the land, they still had the river to rely on. They still had this source of life to be able to trust in. I mean, through storm, through drought, through whatever it is. And like most of the people of Egypt, they'd probably taken what they had for granted. I mean, the Nile had never ceased and never changed its flow pattern. It had provided what was expected without fail. Now, if you look over in Ephesians, I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time. But if you go over to Ephesians and you read about the lifeblood that God gave for the child of God, what you read in Ephesians 5, he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." And then he says, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with" what? "Washing of the water by the word." So this morning, by the help of the Lord, I want to show you what the Bible says. That it says, and well, let me just read the next verse. It says, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And beloved, I don't want to meet the Lord one of these days with a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish in me. Now the judgment seat of Christ is there to iron out all those rough spots. But I don't want to wait till the judgment seat of Christ to iron out what God's given me the chance to iron out here and now. I would rather take the precious Word of God and allow that thing to wash over my soul and take away all the impurity and take away all the things that are out of fellowship with God. The things that sway me from having the mind of God and doing the will of God. Amen. And I'll tell you something about that water, beloved. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, he says that, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of God." I'll tell you, it's not going to be because there's not an abundance of water. It's not because there's not an abundance of bread. It's because there ain't nobody there to listen to it. Amen. Listen, you can't say it's because the supply's cut off, brother, because he said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So the fact that people ain't getting what they need ain't got nothing to do with the supply. It's just got something to do with the demand. Because nobody's demanding it. Nobody's requiring it. Nobody's needing it. It's flowed by their houses. It's flowed through their homes. It's flowed through their businesses for so many years that they've taken for granted the fact that the river's always been there and that it always will be there. But here in the passage, now listen, that passage where I just quoted you, heaven and earth shall pass away, you know that verse, that same verse shows up in 3 out of 4 Gospels. The only Gospel it doesn't show up in is the Gospel of John. But 3 out of 4 Gospels tells you heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. One thing we need to point out before we go any farther though, beloved, what I'm going to preach on this morning is I'm going to preach on the dangers of neglect of the Word of God. The dangers of neglect. Now listen, this is all still tying into our theme on pride. It all still ties in. Because when a man gets to a place where he thinks he can do it without the Word of God to guide him, boy, he's in a world of trouble. He's aiming for a place and a time in his life where he's going to have more stumbling blocks than he's ever faced. He's going to come home from work every day with broke toes because he stumbled, faltered, and fell all along the way when the Word of God would have been there to have cast light on those stumbling blocks. Amen. Now, one thing I want to point out before we go on. We're not talking about rejecting the Word of God. I'm talking about neglecting the Word of God. Two different things. Now, I'm not talking about hearing the Word of God and not being obedient. Amen? That's something that can only be done by the believer themselves. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then He said, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. But then He said, deceiving yourselves. Right? Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if we're not obedient to the Word, then that's rejection. I'm not talking about rejection. I'm talking about neglect. Sometimes life is just busy and we neglect the Word of God and we don't let it have its proper place And I'm not sitting here going to browbeat. I'm just telling you about the dangers you can see here in this passage. First of all, I want you to notice the cause. Neglect has a cause. Look in verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in thine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Notice the inversion of plagues. Now, you can go and you can kind of tie these things together, but you got to notice the inversion of plagues. This first plague was a result of what happened in chapter 1 and verse 22. If you go back there at the very beginning of the book, you read in chapter 1 and verse 22, and it says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." The reason the Lord turned that river to blood is because that river was the place where Pharaoh ordered all the Hebrew boys to be tossed so that they didn't have to worry about an uprising. Amen. I'd never connected them dots before. And the first plague is connected to the last one because the last plague was the death of all the firstborn of Egypt. When Pharaoh's will and desire was to eliminate the threat that Israel posed in their numbers constantly growing, he was going to wipe the seed out. Don't get rid of the women. Get rid of all the men. Do what with them? Well, we're getting there when it's time for the women to deliver, but these are lively women, Pharaoh, and we can't stop the birth. The baby's already born time we get there. He says, fine, but when you see that it's a male child, take it and throw it in the river. Which river you reckon he was talking about? I almost bet you 10-1 it was the one that Moses was fixing to turn into blood. Why? Because neglect has a cause. It's got a cause. One of the first things that neglect of the word can do is it causes spiritual abortion. Amen! Boy, I don't think we realize just how much spiritual abortion we cause in the children and in the people, that the newborn saved Christians that are coming in. And man, they just don't realize it because Christian people ain't putting enough emphasis on your need to have that book in your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into a few other things, but that's one of the first things is the cause of neglect comes from what? Sometimes it just comes from oh Lord, I lost that word. Forgive me, Lord. Let's just move on. I don't want to keep messing up here. All right. Then verse 18, you see the warning of neglect. What happens whenever you neglect that water, man? If that water gets turned, what are we going to do? Verse 18, and the fish that is in the river shall die. So there's nothing to eat. All right. And then he says, and the river shall stink. Well, that doesn't affect your spirit, but it does affect your flesh, which tells me that your spiritual connection to that book can't affect your physical connection to this world. Right? I mean, you see that? Your spiritual connection to that book can affect your physical connection in this world. Because not only are they losing their source of food, but it stinks. They don't want to be near it. Why? Because it smells bad. It's blood. It's coagulated sin that's flowing through their land now. And it smells bad. But not only that, he says, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. What does that tell you? The longer it goes, the harder it is to get back. The longer the neglect goes, the harder it is to get it back. They'll loathe. Boy, that's a heavy word, loathe. They'll loathe to do what? They'll loathe to drink of the water of the river. Man, I tell you, I think about when old Moses is over there and that golden calf got made, and when Moses come down off the mountain, he took that thing, he ground it up into powder and poured it out in the waters there and made them drink it. You know, I bet that didn't taste too good. But you know what I also bet? I bet that was a taste that stuck with them for the rest of their lives. And every time that that thing came up in their mouth, I bet they remembered, man, we shouldn't have never built that thing. And beloved, I'm going to tell you, there's some people, I guarantee you, that have wandered so far away from their need for the Word of God that they're so far off, they can't even think about how badly they need to get back, because they just remember, man, it's like old David over there when he was fighting the Philistines and they were out there on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And he said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. He said, that's my city. That's where I grew up. That's the city of David. That's where I was at. I was born and raised in this area. And man, I remember the cold water that used to come out of that well right down there at the edge, outskirts of Bethlehem. Man, if I could just get me a drink of that. And boy, there's a lot of people that right now would just love to be able to get a hold of a cold drink of the precious Word of God. But it's been so long. It's been so long since they've had a desire for it. See, that's the thing. Blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, they shall be filled. And that, it's just, it's a desire that's got to be there. But when it's not, there's no motivator. I know I need to be in my Bible. I know I need to be studying. I know I need to be getting closer to the Lord as far as the book is concerned. Yeah, but knowing it and doing it is on two different levels. I know I need to get closer, but what's stopping me from doing it? Well, the first thing is neglect. It's neglect. Amen. Number three, we see the results of neglect. Verse 19. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, and they shall become blood." And verse 20 says, Moses and Aaron did so. But then in verse 21 it says, "The fish that was in the river died, and the river stank just like the Lord said it would. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water." See, in the warning, he said they will loathe to drink of the water. But in the actual results, it says they could not. They could not drink. So the results are, of course, there's nothing to eat. There's nothing to drink. Here's another one. You can't bathe. So you can't get clean. You think about that. Your source of cleanliness has to do with that river flowing and staying flowing. But when what's at the head of that river changes and the source of that water changes, it affects what you're capable of doing. And neglect of that book can make it so that when you try to get clean and you know you need to get clean spiritually, you can't. You can't. Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You can't get clean by bathing your spirit in fleshly things. Amen? You can't put off the spiritual things. You can't neglect the things of God and through His precious Word that's intended to clean you and wash you. And you can't do that and replace it with carnal things and worldly things and expect that you're going to stay clean. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. You have to bathe in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the washing of the pure water of life. That's the only way you can stay clean. But the neglect, it affects your ability to get clean. And here's the other thing. It says that the servants of Pharaoh, it says the Egyptians, could not drink of the water, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And again, we've established that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you look at the water and you're trying to think, man, I know I need to get clean. You know what's going to happen though? You're going to approach the Word and you're going to pick that thing up and you're going to approach this thing and you're going to say, here's the source. And you're going to start putting your eyes on its pages and you're going to start putting your eyes on its words. And the devil's going to slip into the seat beside you and he's going to start reminding you about all the failures you've had and all the things you've screwed up and all the places in life that you've failed and all the things that you've done. And that's what he's going to remind you of. And it's going to draw your attention away. And he's going to get you to thinking about other things other than this. And then that cleaning that you were in the process of getting is now going away. And we're not getting clean like we were before. Amen. All right. Boy, the devil likes to bring back to mind all those times you messed up. He loves doing that. But then we also see this, and this is my last one. I'm actually getting through these a lot quicker than I thought I would. The effects of that neglect you see in verse 22, because it says the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So the effects of it is, it's a convincing. See, that's kind of where Pharaoh gets. He's convinced that everything's going to be fine. So what are you going to do? We'll just weather the storm. You know, this too shall pass. But boy, by the time the storm's over, man, you see how far it's blowed you off course. Man, it's going to take a long time to get back. Be a lot easier if we just went and repented. Amen. Amen. I tell you something, beloved, when I was studying over this thing, I told Heather Lynn when I went in there to the bedroom and I laid down there beside her, and I was feeding the little man, and we was just sitting there, me and her, talking about 3:30 in the morning, and everything in the house was quiet, the young one was eating, and we just had the lamps on in the bedroom, we was just laying there in the bed just talking. And I told her, I said, I couldn't get the rest of this message studied out because I said, I had to go get off and on my knees and I had to go repent. Say, what'd you have to repent for? Well, I ain't going to stand up here and act like I ain't had this, like I don't mess up and I don't fail. I mean, and I'm not going to act like I've got excuse. Say, yeah, you got a newborn baby, preacher. Y'all are up at all hours of the night. You run on a couple hours of sleep a night, plus you're working and all that kind of stuff. I mean, come on, the Lord understand if you don't spend as much time in the Word as you normally do. Yeah, but you got to understand that I do everything I can to spend as much time in that book as I'm able. I try to read through that Bible at least 3 times a year. And if I don't get to do that, it bothers me because it's what I'm accustomed to. Be like me being used to taking a shower every day, and then somebody suddenly cuts me down to 2 a week. I can't do that and still feel clean. Amen? Well, if you hadn't read so much to begin with, no, I did it because I loved it and I wanted to. And then when you're sitting here and you pick the thing up and you look at its pages, and then all of a sudden somebody seems to have tied sandbags to your eyelids, and now you're... and it takes you 45 minutes to get through a chapter, because you read about 3 verses and then you pick your head up and go back and read the same 3, but you get 2 more past the last place, and then you have to open them up and then start 3 more back from where you were then. Next thing you know, you look at your watch and, man, I've been sitting here for an hour and I ain't got nothing done. See, the Lord understands, preacher. I don't understand. And I don't like it. It bothers me. And I'm not going to pull you into my boat, but the one thing the Lord showed me in this is that I can't go to the church and preach that until I get that right with the Lord myself. And so I had to go get in the room. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've let a lack of sleep be an excuse to not be in the book like I'm supposed to be. And Lord, I need that. I've got to have it. Amen. I'm not trying to just use me as the example. I'm not the example. I'm not. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example. I'm not. But I'll tell you this. One of the effects of neglect is you'll convince yourself that everything's fine and that you're just going to weather the storm. Well, we'll get back to it whenever we get through this place in our life. And I'll tell you something. As soon as that problem or that situation clears up, there'll be another one. And there'll be another one. And there'll be another one. I was talking to a man who was having trouble putting down smoking cigarettes. He was trying his best to quit smoking. He had tried a number of times and he couldn't get quit of it. And whenever he'd get quit of it, something would come up and he'd be in a stressful situation. He'd go and buy a pack of cigarettes. He'd come in to work one day and he had a pack of cigarettes. And I said, man, I said, I thought you'd quit. He said, yeah, I did. He said, and I'd been about a week without a cigarette. He said, but this started happening, and that started happening, and I just couldn't take it no more. And he said, but I'm going to, he said, after this pack, I'm done again. I said, yeah, and then another situation's going to come up, and then another situation's going to come. And every time you try to put that stuff down, God's going to, or the devil's going to bring something along and put it right your way to make you think you've got to go back to that. We're convinced it's all okay. We're just going to weather the storm. Say, it's no different for those doing right as those doing wrong, so why not just do what I want to do? If I do wrong, I get it in the neck. If I try to do right, I'm getting in the neck anyway, so why not do what I want to do?
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you why. Because you'll end up in the same condition Pharaoh was. Because as Pharaoh continued to neglect the word of the Lord, harder his heart got. And every time he had the word of the Lord come to him and he had another opportunity to get right, he rejected it, he neglected it, and he got harder and harder and harder and harder. And that's the way it ended. Verse 23, I want you to see some things here as I close this. See, Pharaoh went home, but if you look in verse 23, it says, Pharaoh turned and went to his house. But it says, neither did he set his heart to this also. So what is that? No repentance. Which means no change. That's all repentance is. It just means a change. Over in the Old Testament it said, God repented that He had made man upon the face of the earth. And so what did He do? He sent a flood. The Bible said that God intended, I just read it, but it says that He intended on wiping out the nation of Israel because of their disobedience. And when Moses interceded for Israel, it said God repented of the evil that He thought to do. So does that mean God did something wrong and then He got right? No. It just means He changed. He changed His direction. And here Pharaoh's given the chance he could have got right. He doesn't. He doesn't change. There's no repentance. I'll give you three R's and we're done. First, there's no repentance. Secondly, verse 24, there's no regard because he says, and all the Egyptians digged about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. So there's no regard. No thought for those who were digging in that sweltering heat. People out there on the sandy beaches and out there in those dunes out there in Egypt digging into the dirt and trying to find some water. But all the water of the land had been turned to blood. No repentance, but no regard either. Hey, listen. His own children didn't get nothing to drink. His own family was suffering because of his pride. Amen. And then number three, there was no return. Verse 25, 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. There's no record anywhere that Pharaoh ever came back to that river again. There's no record that Pharaoh ever came back to that river again. Say why? Well, because for the remainder of the time that you read this story, Pharaoh is enduring the plagues. At the end of it all, he turns Israel loose. They go out of Egypt, but then Pharaoh gets his army together and pursues them to the Red Sea where he perishes. Isn't it funny how his neglect of the word of the Lord turned the waters to blood? And then his perishing was in the Red Sea. There's no repentance, there's no regard, there's no return. Now I will say this, there was 7 days, it says in 25, there was 7 days before that water started flowing back again. But here's the question, how long do you reckon it took for that water to start flowing and flush out what had been a bloody mess? All their waterways, all their spillways, all their freshwater springs, all the places where they got water that had been turned to blood. How long do you think it took? For 7 days, that blood flowed through the land. And after 7 days, when the water started flowing again, how long do you think it took for all that to wash away? I bet it took a long time. I bet it took a long time. See, the thing is you can't expect to come in here every 7 days and turn the faucet on and it flush out what you've been exposed to for 6 days. The rest of the week that you've gone through and then you come here and the preacher turned the faucet on is not enough time for you to get clean from what you've had exposure to for the last week. Why are people getting so neglectful of the Word of God? Well, it's probably because they've been taking it for granted. Guilty.
Amen.
The reason we get neglectful is sometimes because we just think it's, well, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. That Bible sits on my coffee table. That Bible sits in my car. That Bible's on my bedside nightstand. It's always there. It'll always be there. I can pick it up anytime I want. Any time. But there's not any time. You know, it's like they expect God to always speak when there's a storm coming along. It's funny how we pay. Here's the thing, and I wrote this down this morning as I was finishing up the study. It's funny how much more attention we pay to how high the river's flowing when there's a storm. We don't pay it no attention when the skies are blue and the sun's shining and everything's going. We don't pay attention to how that river's flowing. But we notice it whenever there's been a storm. We notice it's closer. Now that's how God works. He lets that cool river of water just flow through your soul and wash away all those stains that you need washed if you're willing to go to the river and let it do it. But every once in a while, God's got to let a storm come through to bring that water level up to get it closer to where you are. Because when it's storm time, you don't have the ability nor sometimes the desire to walk down to where the creek is. So God brings a storm and raises the creek so that it can get to where you are. That's called mercy. But boy, the kind of stuff that goes on downstream in the time that that water's risen. You ever look at the story of the wise man and the foolish man? He built his house upon the rock. The rains came down and the floods went up. House on the rock stood firm. But you know something? The man who built his house on the sand wasn't so happy when the rain came down and the flood came up. But you know, I'll say this. You look at it from this avenue, and it might give you just a little bit more appreciation for the storm. The man whose house was built upon the rock wasn't afraid of his house falling down. But I bet he was appreciative of the storm because it meant he didn't have to walk so far to get the water that he needed. You think about that when the storms come and God lets them floodwaters come up. Just think about it. Just think about it. Lord, thank you that I don't have to walk so far to get the water. You're bringing the water closer to me. Amen. We neglect that thing, man. Say, what makes you think I'm being neglectful of the Word? Well, sometimes I think maybe because of how offended we get when it's preached. We get offended at a certain thing that's said. We get offended at a certain way that something's said instead of paying attention to what's being said. I think oftentimes the sign that we're being neglectful of the Word is how easily offended we are by the Word. Amen. I think that's true sometimes. I think we get offended at it. And it's because we're being neglectful of it. And we need the Lord to help us, because I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day in an hour, maybe in the future, where that book right there is all you've got. That's all you've got. And there's going to come a day in an hour when the words on a page, the ink on paper, is going to bring you more comfort than any flesh and blood individual could put their arms around.